Welcome to an inspirational Sunday message from Found Church. We hope you will be challenged and encouraged while listening to this message. For more information, or if you'd like to contact us, please visit our church website, foundchurch.co.uk, or you can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
It's great. It's great. There's so many families and babies in our church. It's great. Today I am talking a bit about vision. So this is something that I've been thinking a little bit about over a long time now, and I was asked to share about sharpening your edge, and I think that if we could all sharpen our edge in vision, I think that would make a big difference in our lives, and hopefully by the end of this message that you'll all think that as well, but we'll see. But basically the Bible says in Proverbs 29 verse 18, it says, where there's no prophetic vision, the people cast off restraint, but blessed is he who keeps the law. And when it's talking about there in this prophetic vision, it's something that we can see ahead of us, where we want to be and where we want our lives to be, where we want. The Bible talks a lot about vision, about dreams, and the people who were great leaders in the Bible were people that sought God for a vision for their lives and for the lives of those around them. And so when I think of vision, I think that God's got a vision for every single one of us. Yeah. And I think that God wants vision to be a part of our lives and how we go about our lives, you see. But what is vision? Vision to me is seeing where you will be or what you want your life to look like further down the line or further down the road. I believe that each of us will have an own idea of a vision for our own lives, but I believe God has a better one. I believe God's got a better vision for our lives. But I believe that the vision that God has for our life might not be all that different to what you have, because each and every single one of us have got skills and talents and gifts that God's given us. And hopefully, as we look at further into this, we'll see that God's vision for our lives is actually might be right in front of us, or it might be something that God's already put a passion for in our hearts. But vision to me, seeing where you want your life to be further down the road. And I believe that God has this vision for our lives, something that will take us, but the vision that God has for our life is, I believe, will take us further than we ever thought that we could go, and it will stretch us more than we thought possible, and we'll be thankful for it at the end. Not many times when we go through life and we think there's a bit of a struggle, but when God's in it, at the end of it, you're thankful for the things that God's brought you through, and you're better for it. And the dictionary definition is this: the ability to think about or plan the future with imagination or wisdom. Now, I like that description, with imagination or wisdom. Do you know the Bible talks about like God can do beyond whatever we can imagine, ask or imagine? He can do far bigger than that. And so if we have a vision for life with imagination and wisdom, I like that description when talking about vision. But the vision in another description I like is when it's talking about the basis of a company or group. So like, for example, a vision statement, because like there's some really good descriptive stuff in it used. It says, a vision statement is an inspirational statement of idealistic emotional future of a company or group. Vision describes the basic human emotion that the founder intends to be experienced by the people of the organization or that the organization interacts with. It grounds the group so that it can actualize some of the existential impact on the world. That was a wee bit wordy for me. It felt hard to say. But I like the idealistic emotional future. I like the sentence, but it needs to be tweaked, because idealistic isn't, like, God isn't idealistic. I believe that if our vision is from God, it's not idealistic, it's achievable. It's achievable if it's from God. And I do like the thing when it says it grounds the group so that it can actualize some existential impact on the world, because I believe that the vision that God has for our lives has an impact on the world around us. It has an impact not only in our own lives, but those that are around us. I don't think that a vision should be insular. I think part of it is, it shouldn't just be, It is about how we can grow, but it's about those around us. It's about what we can do for those around us. Now, if you can imagine a sculptor, somebody who has a massive piece of stone. Now, to me, and maybe to you, that's simply just a massive piece of stone. But to the sculptor, this stone is what he's envisioned it to be. He sees what the stone could be. And he begins to chip away and chisel at anything that doesn't look like what he has envisioned. And it's the exact same with our lives. And so I think that it can be seen two ways. That our lives are like the stone, and that God is a sculptor taking pieces off and moulding us to the vision that he has for our lives. Or, and I've said both of these examples because I think that it might help different people where they're at, but the other example is that God has given us the vision and he wants us to make decisions with our life, the stone, and that each decision that we make is chiseling the stone to get closer to the vision that God has for our lives. I don't know which one of those works best for you, but I like both of them, so that's why I thought I'd say both of them. But I wanted to say both of them because I thought that people would benefit from them, because we can, because it's great, we want to trust that God's got a vision for life, and we put our, there's an element of faith in our vision, because we want to see God impact in our lives and in the thing that we want to see. But there's also a point when we have to make decisions as well to follow what God has said, and so that's why I said both. But put it this way, like, I believe that we can have lots of visions for different areas of our life. For example, you can have a vision for your workplace or your family. For example, to see colleagues and family members become Christians. Or to see a vision, for example, that in your workplace that you would, once a week, a vision that once a week you would have a conversation about faith with someone in your workplace. That's a good vision to have. Or in your family, if you've got, there's all these families with babies, the vision that your child or that your brother or sister would go on to do something incredible, sharing faith, or something. So it doesn't have to be that God can give every single person an individual vision. But put it this way, when we got a dog last January, right? And this sounds silly, and I think some of you will think I'm sounding crazy, but I had a vision for how God would use my dog. It sounds really ridiculous, but I, when we got our dog, first of all, really wanted a dog. It was lovely. It's great. It's a bundle of joy. I thought that, do you know what? Like, there's an element of God will grow us through looking after the dog, and that's great. But I had a vision that this dog would give me access to a whole different community that I wouldn't have had access to before. That, so where we live, there's a whole bunch of people that walk their dogs. And I thought to myself, the vision is that I'll have this dog, and that over time I want to have a group of people that I've met walking my dog that I can share faith with. Yes. That sounds silly, but when I got this dog, I said, do you know what? I have a vision that this dog will be a blessing to people, and that he'll make people happy, but he'll also give an opportunity, or having the dog and God using the dog will give an opportunity to speak to people about Jesus. That was the vision for that. But we can have a big vision, or we can have vision, lots of little visions for every area of our life. Area for our family, vision for our family, vision for our workplace, vision for what we want to do with our own passions and talents. Now, I understand that as Christians, we have a mission as well. We have a mission according to Jesus. It's the Great Commission. It's going to come up on the screen. It's from Matthew 28, verse 16 to 20. It says, then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority on heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go out and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age. What a great finishing line there. Surely I am with you always to the end of the age. But there's a difference between mission and vision. I think that the vision that we have from God is never going to be, the vision that we each and every single one of us has, that vision that I have for Winston, is never going to be bigger than that. It's never going to be bigger than that. But the vision that I have has to help me accomplish that. Has to help me accomplish that mission that Jesus has said. And I think that our vision can never be bigger than the mission, and that our vision helps us accomplish the mission. Oh, that felt like I said too many issues in that sentence. But we, each and every single one of us, has gifts and talents. Every single person in here has giftings and talents, that and personality and different traits about you that is different to anybody else in the world. God has made you unique. Why don't you turn to the person next to you and say, you're unique. Some of you really enjoyed the opportunity to say that, because some of you might have turned and said, you're unique. Some of you, maybe some wives to their husbands said a bit of that. But every single one of us is unique. Every single one of us has been designed uniquely. Some of us more than others. But every single one of us has been designed uniquely with different personality traits, talents, extroverts, introverts, people who are good at sports, music. There's lots of different things. There's people with different passions. People are passionate about different things in this room. And I believe that God puts passion in our heart to stir us to do something. And I believe that that can be part of the vision that God puts in our life. And therefore, I would imagine that because of all these gifts and talents and these different personality traits, these different things that God has put in our lives, I would imagine that God has given a different vision for every single person here as to how to accomplish that mission that was up there. And I guarantee you that that vision will stretch you and challenge you, and it might break you down so much that you feel that you can't get up. But if our vision is to accomplish that mission that Jesus has set out, I promise you, just as Jesus has promised, that he's with you to the end of the age. And that promise is enough to help us keep going. It's enough to keep us thinking, how can I put my next step forward to accomplish this vision that you've put in my heart, God? And I wanted to share a story of my own vision, something I believe that God's put on my heart to see young people come to know Jesus. And I have a passion for seeing young people being discipled, and that's where it all really started. I have a passion for I love it when you see a young person growing in their faith and you see the changes as Jesus works in their life. But the vision that is that young people will be disciples who make disciples, and go on and go on. A disciple-making youth ministry is like, I think that that's what Jesus did a bit of that. Jesus, when he was on earth, he made disciples who went on to make disciples who went on to change the world. And I think that if we have young people and we have young people in our church that are disciples making disciples, surely we can change it, Falkirk. Surely we can change Scotland. And recently, when I was away, we were talking about our visions and if God had anything more for us. And I don't like that kind of conversation with God, because I find the initial vision pretty scary initially. But I remember I prayed and I felt like God was showing me more of that vision. It was a bigger vision than what I'd thought about. And the vision grew from just my own youth ministry to seeing other youth ministries and youth workers who want to see young people being disciples to go make other disciples. And then it was like a vision of a network of youth workers and youth ministers and pastors working together to see young people discipled well to go on to be disciple makers. And it started off with a group of friends. This was the original vision. It was just a group of friends, and I thought we could do it together. We can work together to help disciple young people well. But I felt like God was showing me, it was almost like a map of Scotland, and it was like fire spreading from where we were at in Falkirk, and it was going left and right to Glasgow and Edinburgh, and it was going north and south. And I thought, it's not just where I'm at now, it's the whole thing. Yeah. The vision is bigger. And initially, do you know what? It scared me, freaked me out. Freaked me out because I remember feeling small, really inadequate when I thought about that vision, when I thought about the enormity of what God was wanting me, God is challenging me to do, to challenge me to work towards. And I remember thinking, there's no way that I can do it. There's no way that I can do it. And I was listening to music at the time. I was listening to a song by Brandon Lake called Gratitude. And I was listening to that song, and I was just saying, I was just thinking and praying, and I was thinking about, well, what's the next thing? And I was thinking about, God, I really don't feel up to it. And then there's a bridge in the song, and it says, come on, my soul, don't you get shy on me. You've got a lion inside of those lungs. And I remember thinking that, and I was listening to these lyrics, and I was like, there's no way that I have a lion inside my lungs. I just felt like that. And there was no way that I had a lion's side lungs. And then I felt God just share to me, he's like, it's not your roar, it's mine. It's not your roar, it's mine. And I think that if you feel small and inadequate today, God's roar is inside you too. God's roar is inside you too. And the vision that you have for your life, you think it's not going to happen, God's roar is inside you too. And regardless, and when the lion roars, the whole environment knows exactly what its intentions are. When the lion roars, when you watch The Lion King and Mufasa goes for it, you know nobody's going to mess with Mufasa. So the lion is inside. And I remember hearing that and thinking, do you know what? If God's with me, I'll keep putting my next foot forward. I'll keep trying because I'm an introvert. I like to be by myself. I don't like to go and network and make friends. That's scary stuff. But I remember God challenging me to do that. I would much rather sit in a dark room by myself. Like, that'd be fine. But God was challenging me to do that, and he put the lion in your lungs to work. And it's not me. It's God. It's his roar, his power helping me to do the vision that he put in my heart. But only he can accomplish it. He might choose to use you for your vision. He's choosing me for this one. Yeah. And he'll be with us every step of the way. Yeah. But everybody's vision looks different. And sometimes we don't see, sometimes our vision doesn't exactly pan out the way that we want, and we get disappointed and we get frustrated. I'm just going to ask Bethany. She's going to come up and share some of her own taken vision and a story that she's read recently about somebody who's gone through a hard time, but they're still believing for God's plan for their life.
So I grew up wanting to pursue God's plan for my life, and sometimes I got so caught up in that I felt like I couldn't work out what he was saying, or sometimes actually God probably was speaking but I just wasn't listening. And although I really wanted what God had for me, when I look back I can see that there are elements of selfishness and times where I had my own agenda. So for example, when it came to picking a life partner, I knew that I wanted someone who is a Christian, someone who had the same values as me. However, I did not want to marry a pastor, which you'll all find quite funny now. I was quite clear about this. I spoke to God about it. I was like, nope, I'm not having a pastor. I don't want to be a pastor's wife. After growing up with my dad as a pastor and then my brother a pastor, I was like, right, that's enough. And I think, firstly, I was probably too worried about what people would think of me, considering that I was already from a family that had two pastors. If I chose to marry one, they would probably think I'd lost the plot. Let me say, this is absolutely nothing against my dad. He's a great man, and growing up, we always had Saturdays as family day, and that was great. But I quickly realised that my pastor was a job that you couldn't just switch off from. It wasn't 9 to 5 where you leave the office and that's you. There were often late night phone calls and surprise visits, and selfishly, I decided when I got married, no, that wasn't for me. I realise this does not paint me in a very good light, but I'll just be honest with you. Also, just to say, my dad loves his job, and I don't think I've ever heard him complain about answering any of these phone calls or anything, so please don't take that as anything against my dad. Like I say, he loves it. But I just didn't want the same for me. And fast forward a few years, I think God was probably finding this quite funny when it came apparent that things were, you know, going to happen with me and Gregor. And we were on the same page in terms of our values. He was good looking, funny, you know, a great guy. It all seemed good, except he wanted to be a pastor. Red flag. So I was like, no, don't think I want this. And I thought, I kind of struggled with this for a long time, and I think people kind of had us married off after a couple of weeks. In fact, people had us put together before we ourselves knew we were going to be together. But it actually took me a few years to be like 100% sure. And I knew quite early on in our relationship that I wanted Gregor to be my husband, but I didn't. I kind of struggled with this whole, I know that God's given him this vision to be a youth pastor, and I'm not sure I want that. And that is just me being selfish. That wasn't part of my vision for my life. But then I realized that is because that was my vision, and I was trying to pursue God's vision, but at the same time, I was having this thing that was my own. So I loved Gregor, didn't love his career choice, but ultimately I believed that God had put us together and that his vision or plan for my life was much better than what I ever could have planned for myself. And I wouldn't change a thing. And looking back now, I can see how Elements have grown up and has probably prepared me for the future. And that being a pastor is not a bad job. Like I say, it's just not what I had in my head. So often in life, I think things work out differently than what I think they will, and that the way that this has worked out is obviously really good. We're really happy, but sometimes things can work out and it can be really hard to understand why they've worked out that way. It can be difficult to see the good, and like obviously what I've just shared is quite a lighthearted story, but sometimes people are facing really difficult things and I really struggle to understand why that's the case. And a couple of weeks ago on Instagram, I came across a post by a woman called Julie Wilson. Her husband is a pastor and he tragically took his own life a couple of years ago. And she posted a beautiful picture of her and her husband and their two little boys. And I just want to read the words to you. It's quite long, so bear with me. If given a chance to go back in time and change anything I wanted, would I take it? Would I jump at the opportunity to manipulate and build a life of picturesque moments and words perfectly said? Would I go back to when the world was a little kinder, opportunities easier to grasp, and my confidence unshaken? I guess the deeper question is this. Do I really want whatever God has for me, or am I just hoping he'll sign off on the things I prefer? That's a mic drop there. I was comfortable not knowing him as a man of suffering, and things were easier before I had any grief to be acquainted with. Do I still choose Jesus, the one that cried, let this cup pass, and yet accepted with joy all his Father required of him when the answer was no? Can I sincerely say the same, or am I homesick for a cozier version of Jesus? I like the one that defeated death and healed people. He was easier to say yes to than the one that allows loss and answers prayers for miracles with an unexplained no. And yet even here, as I consider that question, deep down, my heart knows it can never go back, that I couldn't settle for fleeing comfort in exchange for knowing Jesus as my comforter. This is a raw Jesus I've grown to know now, one that weeps for his friends and finds a ministering touch from angels after enduring the wilderness as it threatened to take it all. No, I couldn't go back. Although I'll confess I find myself wanting to at times, and I'll forever wish Jared was here with us. That just never goes away, regardless of how many days pass. Even so, I'm choosing the bigger picture and staying fully committed to my small role in it. God promises to work all things together for good, but I find comfort in knowing he never said all the things we'll go through are good, just that they eventually will be. The road from glory to glory is hard and paved with so many unseen tears, but the promise remains, what we suffer now is nothing compared to the glory to come. Let's keep going, friends, there's still so much to see. And I read that, and I've read it so many times, and it made me cry, and I just thought, imagine getting to that place where you've gone through something so heartbreaking, and you can say that, sorry, and you can say that. And the part that really stuck out to me was that line that said, it says, do I really want whatever God has for me, or am I just hoping he'll sign off on the things I prefer? And I think that's such a challenge when it comes to our vision. What an amazing attitude to have. And that is just a big question that I think of when it comes to sharpening our vision, what Gregor's spoken about. Is it God's vision that we really want, or is it our own?
I think that story is really powerful, and I wanted Bethany to share that because sometimes the vision that we have doesn't pan out how we hope, but will we trust God anyway? And that can be really difficult, but I think about Paul. Paul had a vision. He had a vision to, Paul from the Bible, you know that guy, he had a vision to share the gospel with the Gentiles, to go out into all the known world at the time and so that the known world would know Jesus. And did Paul see the vision all the way through? I don't think he did. I think he didn't get as far as what he had envisioned himself going. He was stopped. But that didn't mean that Paul's vision stopped. It meant that he stopped. Because sometimes you don't get to see your vision come to pass, but you can inspire others to carry it on. And the vision that Paul had a massive impact on the world. Your vision, though it might seem far away, And I can't tell you what your vision is. I can't tell you what that is. That's something that we, each and every single one of us needs to ask God about. I can tell you what the mission is because it's written down, but I can't tell you what your own vision is. Your own vision, that's something you need to speak with God about. And your vision might seem far away, but and it might seem like you might not reach it, but your vision can have an impact on the world around you and the world of others. Have you ever shared your vision with people? If you have one, because maybe you're too scared of what people might think about your vision. Maybe you've got a head full of doubt that it won't ever happen, or maybe the next person that you share your vision with will be inspired to build it with you, to take that. That would be awesome, wouldn't it? If your vision would be something that somebody would come alongside with you and help you with, that would be something really cool. And who knows, they might even be the, you might not be the one to see it through, but they might be. Or the person that they share that vision with might be the one that sees it through. And I think that that's the legacy of what we see with Paul. Is he had a vision to see people know the name of Jesus throughout the world. And God has a vision for your life. He has a vision of what he wants to do in your life. But will you seek that? Will you seek his vision? Will you go after his plans regardless of what they look like? They might not look like what you want them to, or they might not seem, or you might not even see these plans fulfilled before the end of your lifetime. But the journey will for sure be amazing. It will be amazing. And in conclusion, I hope that this message is that we will leave here thinking about the vision that God has for our lives, thinking about how we can sharpen our vision, how we can see the gifts, evaluate our own gifts and talents, our own passions, our own things that we want to see happen, things that annoy us about the world. Like, people can have a vision for poverty, like, to be eradicated. That's an amazing vision. It's a big vision. But what annoys you that you think, I want to make an impact on that? I want to speak to God about the vision that he has for my life in that area. To see the gifts and talents that God placed in every single one of us, to see our lives used to grow us in our own faith, but to help others do the same. Our vision is not just about ourselves, but it's about those around us in the world that we can impact. And I believe that Paul had that. I believe that each and every single one of us can have that. And I would challenge us to do the same. And maybe if you can...
Thank you for listening. We hope you've been challenged and inspired. Please feel free to contact us through our website, foundchurch.co.uk, or you can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.